Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard.
Still out of the hospital, come 14 days strong. Congratulations.
Why, thank you. And because last time we talked about my medical stuff so much.
I know, I
41 minutes.
Well, I mean, it's not every day you spend an entire week in the hospital just to be told, eh, we don't know what's wrong with you, go home.
Yeah, they still don't know. But instead, this week, it's all comics. Meanwhile, at the other end of the series of tubes and wires and moose antlers we call the interwebs is Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing tonight, Joe?
Well, I will have to correct you. Once again, it's not antlers this far north. We have the substance called baleen. It's basically teeth from
baling hay?
No, and not even Bailey's Irish Cream. No, baleen. It's these long teeth that bowhead whales grow, and they use it to capture krill, much to the krill's dismay. And once the natives harvest a whale, they use this stuff for all sorts of things. Right now, it's pretty much... they use it for making artwork to sell to unsuspecting visitors like me. But apparently back around the turn of the century, we're talking last century, not 20 to 21, they used it to make such things as buggy whips and shoelaces and stuff like that. But being that we found better sources of that, now we just use it for decorative purposes.
So what do we make buggy whips out of now?
Probably nylon. Tends to sting a little.
Ooh. I mean, once again, we find out a little more than we want to know about Joe.
I just proved to you that we ain't going to talk just about comics, fanboy.
But we do need to update the people.
The people?
Because all the people. This is a milestone. It is our last recording in Barrow, Alaska.
Well, my last recording. You're sitting there safe and comfy in the middle of the Twin Cities.
Well, not really. I'm in Chaska.
Okay, you got me there. Nobody's safe in Chaska.
Damn straight.
Yep, finally, I got here way back December 28th.
And when it was dark all the time.
It was 24-hour day. And I'm leaving as of this Thursday, which will be May 12th, it's going to be 24-hour daylight. And I figured there's certain symmetry in that, and it seems to work out pretty fair. So I'll be heading home, and of course I'll be heading home just in time for SpringCon. Woohoo!
SpringCon?
Do we want to talk about SpringCon? You notice I didn't interrupt you about it this time.
I know, I'm kind of scared.
You should be. But fear not, because SpringCon is coming.
Oh, the whole episode's about conventions.
Yes.
This is our convention special.
The go-home episode. We've been talking about SpringCon ever since FallCon. And it's time, by the time this podcast is up and you're enjoying it, we'll be probably just days away from SpringCon, which, of course, is May 21st, 22nd at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. At the grandstand. Shall I go on?
Well, first, I'd like to remind everybody that this here show has sponsors.
It does?
Yes, sponsors, ladies and gentlemen. Sponsor number one is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com. If you go over to Lifehacker and you look up, there's an article on taking your website away from GoDaddy. Because GoDaddy, some of the stuff they do is not very nice. And some of the charges they have are kind of hidden. So when you pay your bill at the end of the year, you're surprised that it's 3 to 4 times what you thought it would be. And they list 5 web hosts that work better than GoDaddy.com. And number 3, should have been number 1, was DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best damn web host in the whole internet. And if you go there and you put in the code CRAZY, K-R-A-I-Z, you save $20 on starting up a website. And let me tell you something. You kids got your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Groupons and your Friendsters and your MySpaces. You're nothing without a website. You want to impress people? Let's say you've got a business and you're running it out of your house. You need a website because people are going to go on to Google. They're going to go on to the Google and they're going to put in whatever your business is. Let's say you're a toaster oven repairman and you're doing it out of your house. Somebody's going to type in toaster oven repairman. And if you don't have a website, it's not going to show up. So that's dreamhost.com. Sponsor number two is Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com, part of the Solitaire Rose family of websites. It is the story of the lowest rated news network on cable. It's been going for almost a year and a half. New strips are starting up. I've got scripts. Dan's doing some drawing. Dan will be at SpringCon. So you could go up to him and you could go, how come that Corey's so damn lazy he didn't get his scripts for a while? And he'll tell some funny stories about me being in the hospital, me getting a new job, and me just kind of sitting there staring at the wall. Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com. We have another
sponsor. You're nothing if you're not a dot com.
That's right. See, I've got a website. The podcast has a website. Joe, you don't have a website. You know what that means?
It means I have a life.
It also means you're nothing on the internet.
Well, that's why I attach to you and eBay and Facebook and all that other fun stuff. I'll let you guys handle the costs since I haven't seen lickety and or split payout since you started this entire crusade.
This is a crusade? We're off to Israel. Maybe that's where you're going to get posted next. So one of the things I wonder about, when we started this here podcast, one of the ideas, I was up for a job where I would be traveling 3 weeks out of the month and then home for 1 week. And then 3 weeks I'd be on the road and on and on and on. And that didn't happen. But we were going to do a podcast where we were going to call it Traveling Geeks, about how to keep up with your hobbies while you're traveling around and et cetera, et cetera. And I know one of the things when I travel, still, I've cut down immensely, but still, when I go to my parents, it's like, okay, here are my clothes. Oh, and here are books and comics to read in case I get bored. And I keep them in the car. And as I talked about in the last episode, thank God I did that because when I was in the hospital, my roommate just went out to the car and brought in the box of books and comics and said, here you go, this will keep you busy. Now, I imagine if I was going to be in Alaska for 6 months...
Well, I didn't plan 6 months. Remember, when I initially came here, it was only supposed to be 30 days.
Right. I would imagine that I would bring more than just, you know, a couple of paperbacks, a novel, and a laptop. So, Joe, you've probably got a bunch of stuff. You've talked about comics you've bought up there. You've talked about some of the stuff you've read. How in the world do you get it back? Because I know that if your luggage weighs more than 50 pounds, they frown at you and they make you give them money.
Yeah, well, I found someone else to give money to. Basically, what I do is I load up everything that I don't need and I ship it home via the post office, usually using parcel post. Now, when I was in Washington, D.C. for 7 months a couple of years ago, I had one advantage where I must have visited every single comic store in the Washington, D.C. area. And if I didn't visit it, it's because I couldn't find parking. But I did amass quite a bit of stuff. So, you know, you sort through and you figure out, well, I don't need this, I don't need this, blah, blah, blah. I sent home 4 boxes equaling about 100 pounds worth of stuff. Just basically take clothes, wrap your books in it. You try to wrap it up to keep it as safe as possible. I think my good buddy Pat, he sent me a couple care packages, just like the one you sent me. Pretty much that's what I did this time around. I took all the books. Some of them were real heavy, like the big Walking Dead omnibus that I devoured in the first half of the year. Some of them were ones like in the last batch, you gave me a bunch of Walking Dead. The last thing I read was a book called Term Life. This came from Image Comics, their Shadowline. Fantastic story by Lieberman and Thornborough. Quick synopsis. Everyone Nick knows wants him dead. Mob bosses, contract killers, dirty cops. So, performing the last act of a desperate man, he takes out a $1 million insurance policy on himself payable to his estranged daughter. Problem is, policy doesn't take effect for 21 days, and as bad as that is, it doesn't come close to the wrath of a 13-year-old girl meeting her father for the first time as he's forced to keep them both alive. Really good book. It's not told in a linear fashion, but it is fantastic to read. So check it out. And it's one of those I'm glad I picked up. So with that, we've talked about term insurance. We talked about health insurance. I think we're pretty much done with insurance on this particular podcast. How about you?
I think in our next podcast, we'll talk about car insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Fire insurance. I could talk about short-term disability insurance because now I have it.
And I could talk about long-term because I'm about to apply for it. But be that as it may, I did send one box home, about 35 pounds, ran about $40. I just put it in a box. I wrap it in clothes. I put a bunch of things in there I don't need because when I got here in Barrow, like I said, it's December 28th, 24-hour darkness. I'm going to leave as of May 12th. It'll be 24-hour daylight. Certain synchronicity in that. So some of my heavy-duty winter clothes, I wrapped it up in my books in there and a few other souvenirs, and I just shipped it all home. So now I should be underneath that magical 50-pound number. And I know there's a myth out there about it's cheaper to mail your luggage to you. I don't find that anywhere. It's still cheaper to just bring it, if you have to, bring it through the airlines. But in this case, you know, $30, I can ship my 50 pounds of books home, and I can avoid all that without any problem. And generally, that's kind of what I do. You know, you try to make sure you're not dragging home a lot of stuff, but, you know, you are going to bring home some souvenirs. And one thing in Alaska, there wasn't a lot of places to exercise, so I probably got about 10 extra pounds on my gut, but they don't penalize you for that.
Yet.
Yeah. I pretty much will sit back in the upright position and listen to my iPod on the way home.
Yep.
Who knows? Maybe I'll go crazy and I'll download the podcast and listen. Who knows?
There you go. You can listen to our podcast and see what horrible things I do to you in editing.
Yeah, there is that. I suppose if I ever did listen to it, I'd be like, ooh, why am I wasting an hour with these clowns?
Hold on. Do you hear that, Joe?
Nothing.
Sad news, everyone. We talked about it in our last episode.
I got a drink. I'm so verklempt. Okay, I'm ready. Lay it on me.
On April 15th, 2001, Tokyo Pop announced that they would be ending their U.S. publishing efforts on May 31st, 2011. Now, Tokyo Pop started in 1997 with a magazine called Mixzine. It was a magazine that had all sorts of, it was an anthology manga reprint magazine. And that ran for a little while. It did well enough that they started a second one called Smile, which was shoujo manga, which is, you know, manga aimed at girls. But by 2001, they had become Tokyo Pop, and they were just publishing nothing but the paperback books that are a little bigger than a regular, you know, pocket paperback. And for a while, they were selling tons and tons of books. They had gotten, they'd gotten books like, let's see, Model, King of Hell, Fruits Basket. They started with Sailor Moon. And during the manga boom of the early to mid 2000s, they did very, very well. But over the last few years, some things have happened. First thing was that in 2008, the manga market started to get soft, and they lost the right to, I'm going to mispronounce this, Kodansha, which was a huge part of their catalog. They lost one of the biggest Japanese publishers who went over to other publishers because one of the things about Tokyo Pop was they were kind of cheap. They did things on the cheap. They were the first company that didn't flip the art because even Viz would take the art and flip it so that it would read left to right like traditional. They didn't flip it because it was cheaper. That way they could sell their books for $9.99 rather than $12 and $15 each.
Didn't they used to sell it in both versions? Or was that Viz?
Viz did that. Tokyo Pop.
I remember people would specifically order and they say, I want this version. I want that version. I actually had quite a few customers who would come to me because I would order the flipped version, you know, or not the non-flip, the way it is in Japan.
Yep, Tokyo Pop was the first company to say that's all we do. And they, in their advertising, said it was authentic, but in actuality, it was just a way to be cheaper. They did some things in 2007, 2008 when the market started to slow. They tried to create their own books. And the way they did that was they had a contest. And it's, oh, you know, send in your manga. And if you win, we'll publish it. Well, after a while, a lot of people started reading the contracts. And in the contracts, you were giving up all rights. They would pay you a $500 fee. I think it was $500 for first publication. But if they reprinted it a second time in the U.S., you didn't get anything. If it got printed in Japan or over in Europe, you didn't get anything. If it sold as a movie, you didn't get anything. Here's a weird fact that ties in with Spring Con, Joe.
Uh-oh.
You know who won the first contest?
Alan Payne.
Amy Reeder, who will be a guest at our convention.
Oh, cool.
So in 2008, they did a restructuring. And in February 2011, their president and COO resigned from the company, took a job over at Diamond. They never filled the position. Diamond became their distributor, whereas in the past they were with HarperCollins, which was... HarperCollins was better in regular bookstores, but not real good in comic shops. Diamond, of course, really good in comic shops, not as good in regular bookstores. So they were having trouble in bookstores. They wanted to concentrate on the comic book market. That didn't really work out for them. And the big thing that they had a bunch of layoffs, and you want to know what the big thing was that killed them? Are you ready?
I can't think of it. I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Borders.
Oh, I should, you know, I should have just guessed that because we talked about that when we heard they were going under. All this cash flowing backwards to smaller publishers could be enough to do them in.
Yep. The CEO, Stuart Levy, said in an interview that the layoffs were due to Borders. It was Tokyo Pop's largest customer. They were around 60% of Tokyo Pop sales. And when they filed bankruptcy, they quit carrying Tokyo Pop stock. They weren't paying debt. And Tokyo Pop eventually, now they're shutting down their publishing in the U.S. They're still going to publish in Europe, and they're still, like, holding the rights to things. And I imagine for a while, if you want to get some of the books they published in the past, you still can, because they're going to want to empty out their warehouse. Here's the sad thing, though. Here's how you can tell when a company is in trouble. 3 months ago, you go to the Tokyo Pop website, and it's a really nice website, and it's got a... you know, where you can order books from them directly, and here's what's coming up and everything. You go to the website now, you know where it redirects you, Joe?
Amazon?
Their Facebook page.
Facebook. Is there nothing it can't do?
Well, just think, if they would have been at DreamHost.com, they could have afforded to keep their website up.
Some people just aren't forward thinking.
So that's what happened with Tokyo Pop. And in a way, one of the reasons I like talking about things like this, because we talk about books getting canceled and companies going out. It's not because it's negative, but to talk more about how the market works. What happened with Tokyo Pop is a lot like what happened with TSR. TSR was the publisher of Dungeons & Dragons. And for the longest time, they were a money powerhouse. They made scary amounts of money. But there was a time in the 90s when book publishing was going through a little bit of trouble, and both Barnes & Noble and Borders, they got to the end of the year and they didn't make their projected numbers. Huh, we didn't make enough profit. Well, what's one way we can make that up? We can do a bunch of returns. Because if you do a bunch of returns, you don't have to pay for the books that have been shipped. It's okay, you ordered $10,000 worth of material. You're returning $9,500 worth of material. You only have to pay us $500. And I don't remember if it was Barnes and Noble or Borders or both of them, because I talked to someone who was involved in the whole thing. And what it was, TSR was, fourth quarter, hey, it's Christmas. This is when we make the most money. And they shipped out stuff, and then they sent their bills to these publishers, to these retailers. And the retailers actually went through and said, huh, our bill for this store is $12,000. They would tell the employees, go take $12,000 worth of material off the shelf from this publisher, strip it, and return it. So rather than getting, fourth quarter, that's Christmas sales. Rather than getting huge Christmas sales, instead it was, oh, we're just getting returns. We're not getting any cash coming in. And the TSR had been around since the 70s. That one bad Christmas, they were done. And then Wizards of the Coast, which owned Magic, came in, bought them up for bargain basement prices, and they're still the publishers of Dungeons and Dragons. But it was the novels that killed off TSR.
And if I believe Hasbro owns them now, don't they?
Nope, it's Wizards of the Coast. Oh,
I thought,
Wizards of the Coast is owned by Hasbro, yeah.
yeah, so see the biggers just swallow up the smallers.
But speaking of small and big,
Is that
we
a
got
crack at Mike,
SpringCon
the human
coming up.
planet?
Well,
He's
we'll
going to
talk
be
a
there,
little
you
about
know.
Mike.
He's going to be there,
Yep.
you know.
He's our security guy,
All
isn't
right,
he?
all right. Let me set the stage. Ready? You don't have any dramatic music, do you? Can you make
I
some
hope I
wind noises? I mean, I know you had a long, cold winter there in Minnesota. Just make some wind noises or something.
Yeah, my asthma's too bad. I'm sorry, I can't.
Okay, well, we'll just pretend. Well,
I could drink out of the Thor cup that I have.
no, you'll be sorry if. Oh, now it just sounds like you're blowing your nose. Oh, come to think of it, I got some water too. But, all right, here we go. Set the mood. Ready? Buried beneath the glacial layers of ice and snow, Minnesota sleeps, awaiting the end of winter's icy rain. But at the secret Midwest Comic Book Association headquarters, something is already beginning to take shape, something to give the world hope, even as forecasters predict the continuing snowpocalypse. Behold, the first promising glimpse of spring. The Minnesota Comic Book Association invites you to attend the SpringCon Comic Book Celebration, May 21st, 22nd, 2011, at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds at the Grandstand. It's 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days. And I'm pretty much going to stop there because now we're just going to talk in depth about the con.
Yep. One of the I want to go back into the past, because for the longest time, I think it was the first 3 4 years, the con itself was just called, I think it was just the MCBA con. It was the MCBA one day and the MCBA two day, and we
And
were
the
at a
one day they
meeting.
kept calling MicroCon 3 for some reason. It just was kind of
Yes.
a because somebody had said, I don't know what it was, if it was a we should ask Brian Wilson about that, because
Oh,
I
I know
think,
what happened. I
oh,
know
what
what
happened?
happened. At the fourth one, Brian messed up and put three.
That's what
And
I
we
thought,
teased him relentlessly.
because that
And
was
he
the
decided.
he was cut and pasting all this stuff. He wasn't doing it on the computer, because this was like pre-computer time, you know.
Well, it was like 89, 90. It's where only geeks like me and you had computers. Brian had, he would go to art supply stores and get, you know, where you would cut out letters and put them on paper to create flyers. And it took him forever. And he loved it.
Oh, he was awesome at it. He came up with some of the coolest flyers. When I did a 20-year retrospective, or the 25th comic book con, no, 20th, I'm sorry, I'm getting my 20s mixed up. 21st, 22nd,
20th.
21st century, it's all the same. But at the 20th, I did a three-table spread of the history of the MCBA, and Brian gave me most of his stuff that he had. It's not stuff that he kept archived, but it was just all this cut and paste, all the flyers, and it wasn't until maybe the last 4 years that his stuff stopped, because then it started to be computer generated. It was taken over by a guy named Ben Piskin, also a guest at the con, a very talented artist in his own right. And he's now kind of the art director guy, where he does everything. He's computerized and he takes care of it a lot for Nick. Does the t-shirt. You'll see the guys in the volunteer t-shirts and things like that. I'm just looking on the MCBA Facebook page, and it just, as the company overview, it says it was founded 1988 by comic book fans and creators. Early on in its career, there were more creators involved. I think Dan Juergens was big. Maybe Gordon Purcell, I'm not sure. As it became its own entity, the creators kind of stepped back, but they kept coming to the cons, which was fabulous. I think I've already talked the story about how Pat and I got involved. We just were talking to the guys and we were like, you know, you guys need a retailer perspective. I mean, you're doing all this great stuff, but you don't really understand what the retailers need. You know, there's sometimes a little bit of animosity there. And when we came in, and after a few years of working with the MCBA,
you had more animosity than we did.
Yeah, we're like, you know what? Screw the retailers. They're just a bunch of whiny gotchas, and all they want to do is just complain. And it was weird because the cons were made money. I mean, when I sat and I had the comic store, I mean, first of all, Pat and I did it as Weekend Warriors, and then as a comic store, we went there and we went there to promote ourselves. There were three things you could do at a con to make money: sell stuff, promote yourself, and find stuff to bring back to sell to the store. Because not every one of my customers actually went to the con. Some guys just don't care. Some guys get everything they want. Some, like me and Corey and the guys putting on the con, we can't wait to get to the con. We're just, my belly button's been puckering and unpuckering all day. I just can't wait.
I'm really excited because this is the first year in about 3 years I'm going to have money.
True.
So the last few years, I've just kind of been sitting at the table we run. And I've already told Angie, who's going to be doing, by the way, Angie will be there doing massage. She's a certified massage therapist. She's bringing her chair to do neck and back massage.
Oh, and I'm
$10
telling you,
for 10 minutes.
And half goes to charity. Am I right? Which chair is she working with?
She's going to be working with St. Mary's, which gives medical care to people who can't afford it. And as someone who just paid a whole lot for medical when I have medical care, this is something she's very passionate about. And I agree with her. One of the things, if you look, a lot of people in the U.S. who don't have medical coverage, they wait until they go to the ER. Because if you call, you know, if I didn't have medical coverage and I had the problem I had a few weeks ago, if I would have called a doctor and said, yeah, is there a way I could see you? And he said, well, what insurance do you have? Well, I don't have insurance right now, but I could pay over time. They wouldn't have seen me. I would have had to wait until I could go to the ER. And then the bill is coming in for my medical, and it's more money than my house.
And he has collectibles in his house.
Yeah. So one of the things that she's very passionate about is that people should be able to go to a doctor if they're sick. And So half of the money she makes is going to go that. She also just quit her job at the group home, and I'm very happy that she has done so because she was doing overnight. She's not an overnight person. And half of it will go to her. She's also going to have flyers there. She's looking for new customers. So if you're at the con, pick up one of the flyers. If you don't need a massage therapist, give the flyer to someone who does, because she's amazing. She works. She doesn't just work with, you know, she, what is it? She has like two CEOs of businesses out in the Victoria, Chanhassen, Waconia area that she works with. She also does work with quadriplegics, people who've been in car accidents. She's just really, really good at what she does. And so she's going to be charging $10 for 10 minutes. And if you want more,
I can tell you, the grandstand is one of the oldest buildings at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds. It'll have close to 80,000 square feet of comic book action. I mean, we're able to jam that much in there. However, that floor is rock hard cement. And after walking around all day, and I think Corey and I both agree, at the end of the con, our dogs are barking at us. And, you know, I got this idea because when we went to the San Diego con, there was a group that was doing massages like that, $10 for 10 minutes. They weren't tied into a charity, whereas as Angie's is, which I think is fabulous. So you may want to do that. So just put an extra 10 aside and plan for it. And one thing you can do, let's talk a little bit about like suggestions, what you should bring to just in general. And number one, comfortable shoes. I mean, you want shoes that are going to be able to withstand holding up on a concrete floor, walking. If you're going to be doing a lot of kneeling, getting down, going after those really good bargain books underneath the tables, you know, bring something for your knees, either a towel to sit on or put some knee pads under it. I know that's something I forget every year. And then I start going down to look at stuff and you get up and your back goes, oh, that was a dumb idea, Joe.
My big suggestion, I have a backpack. I'm actually going to grab the backpack. I've already packed it for the con. In it, I have, you know, I've got some business cards. I have ibuprofen. Hmm. I've got batteries because I bring a digital camera. Camera, hand
camera. I always suggest extra batteries because I use one of those cameras that got lithium, and those things suck it down fast. And granted, we got a target probably a couple miles, but it's a real pain to leave the grounds and come back. There is free parking at the fairgrounds, but there's also other events going on at the fairgrounds as well. So you'll all be fighting for the same parking spots.
Let's see.
A backpack, sketchbooks, pens.
Pens and pencils, sweater, for autographs.
A sweater, a windbreaker, just in case. We don't know what the weather's going to be. It sounds like it's gorgeous where you guys are now.
Yeah, it's okay. I want to bring in hand sanitizer because one of the Joe and I, we've been going to this con for a long, long time. And it's to the point where, to me, it's almost like a high school reunion because it's people I only see at the convention, but I've known them for a long time. So you're shaking a lot of hands. And if you're shaking a lot of hands, I like to use hand sanitizer simply because every few years you hear about people who get what they call con crud. You're getting 5,000 to 6,000 people in one building. And if somebody's got a cold or the flu, everybody's going to have a cold or the flu.
Mm-hmm.
I learned this out at San Diego. I throw in granola bars.
Yeah. Because food and water is always a plus. Something you can have quick. They will have a vendor out front that will be selling fair type food, hamburgers, corn dog, pop, things like that. But inside, unless you find somebody giving away little Tootsie Rolls or something, you pretty much are on your own for food and water. So plan for it. Keep that reactor fueled. If you're an aspiring artist, bring your portfolio. There are going to be oodles of artists at SpringCon. In a few minutes, we'll talk about some of the guests I'm looking forward to meeting. Some will have the time to do portfolio reviews. Some will have time to do sketches. Autographs are always free. So that is really cool.
And one of the things about bringing a portfolio, there are artists there who are looking to hire assistants. There was one year where Peter Gross, who's only going to be there one day, Peter Gross, who drew the series, he worked on the Sandman books, he worked on Lucifer, he's doing the Unwritten, does a lot of Vertigo. Every assistant he has hired them from this convention. So if you bring your portfolio, be ready to talk business. There are also going to be a lot of indie creators there. If you're an artist, this is a perfect place for you to network. So bring a notebook or something to write down notes.
I will bring your cell phone. One caution, though, because I'm going to link this onto the Facebook, the Midwest Comic Book Celebration's Facebook, which is Midwest Comic Book Association. So if you look for it. But the gentleman, I can't think of his name, Doug, from does the Arsenic Lullabies.
Yes.
He's always willing to look at your portfolio, but he's looking at it critically. He's going to tear it apart because his attitude is, I don't want to tell you what you're doing good. I want to tell you how to do better.
Right.
And he's even said it in his own thing. He's willing to do it, but he's going to be an asshole about it. And if you come in, look, if you're easily hurt, not looking to win or improve, he might not be a guy you want to talk to. But most of the comic book guys are willing to give you the criticism. You just got to be willing to take it.
And the other thing about that is there are a lot of people here in the Twin Cities. A lot of the artists also work as professors at Minnesota College of Art and Design. They've got a comic book program. Terry Beatty teaches out there. Barbara Schultz teaches out there. There'll be some people from Minnesota College of Art and Design. They're going to look at your stuff. And again, they're going to look at it critically. Here are things you need to do. Here are things you need to look at. Here are ways to get better. Don't come in thinking, you know, I'm a superstar and don't need to change. If you're getting your portfolio reviewed, they're going to look at it and they're going to tell you how to do things better. So if you're not ready for that, remember your cell phone.
Cell phone's a big one.
One of the things.
And when fully you and charge it.
Yes. When you and I were in San Diego, one of our biggest problems was it was so hard for us to keep in touch.
Yeah, this is before cell phones exploded. I mean, it's hard to fathom for my daughter. It's like, you don't get it. You had a quarter in your pocket you never spent because you prayed to God you found a payphone. And then you know, when you called, you wanted to hope you didn't get an answering machine because you just wasted your quarter.
Yep. But so, I remember I got a cell phone right after San Diego. And I got like a bare bones phone with a bare bones plan, and it was over $100 a month. Now I have a smartphone where I could be on the internet the entire, I could be on the internet the whole time I am awake and text constantly, and it's still the same price. So if you're going with friends, have a cell phone so you know where to meet up.
That's a good thing to bring. Bring some friends, you know. A couple other things to talk about. Not everybody takes checks, so bring cash.
Yep.
They will have an ATM machine there. I don't believe it's run out of cash. I know the first couple of years it did, but I believe it's stocked up enough to keep going. Some guys will take credit cards, so bring those along too. So you'll have that checked. How do you track what you're looking for, Corey?
Anymore, I have a list of trade paperbacks I buy. When it comes to back issues, this sounds really weird, but it's more I will look through. And I'm really not looking for anything. There are a few things from the last like 6 months I missed. But during those 2 years when I was out of work and I'd cut down on everything, I just, you know what? I'll wait and buy it as a trade. I'll wait and buy it as a trade. I'll wait and I'll buy. Well, now most of the trades you could buy cheap. We had an episode a while back called Bottom Feeders. And I said that I was very proudly a bottom feeder. I was talking with Angie last night, and I said, you know, this is the first time I'll be able to buy stuff at a con. And she's like, oh, so you're going to go and you're going to be looking for the old stuff, the expensive stuff. And I said, oh, hell no. I'm going to the people who are selling their trades at $5 each or 50% off or deep discount. I'm loading the hell up. So I've got a list of the trades I'm looking for. But I also keep it open enough that if I see something that I could go, oh, cool. I didn't even know that was out.
See, I've got The things that I look for, I mean, I'm always looking for like a key collectible piece if I see something I like. A couple of years ago, I picked up the Gold Key, the Beatles. It was a readable copy in fair shape for about $50. It's like a $300 to $500 book in mint shape. I don't need it mint. I just want the photo on the cover to be in decent shape. So I look for things like that that just kind of hit me. But I've also got collections of things that'll probably never, and I mean ever, be in trade. I'm still trying to collect all the Ultraverse line. I'm trying to collect Superman family. Strike Force, what was it? Moriarty, Electra?
Morituri.
Thank
Morituri.
you. I am missing issues of that. In some ways, it's harder to find these issues because nobody's collecting them. And so I'll be going through the cheap boxes, and as I run across runs of these things, if I'm lucky, it's by title and not just random, I either have to buy it and pray to God I don't have it, or finally what I did is I picked up one of those big comic book guide price guide and checklists. I didn't pick up the super big one that covers all Golden Age books, although I may be doing that in the future. I just picked up one, and it has a wonderful guide inside it, and every single comic has its own check mark. They're very diligent about doing variants. And matter of fact, if you ever find something that's not in their book, they'll tell you how you can send them something in order to check it off. So it's really fun. I got that book, and Corey and I have one advantage, and we'll get to it later when we start talking about the charity booth. We have a place we can store our stuff. So I'm not carrying this around all the time. If I need it, I'll suddenly run back to the booth, grab it, and go. Unless you know somebody there you can leave stuff with, you might be plan to run back and forth to the car a few times. And
Yeah.
the best thing is that the parking at the fairgrounds is free. Just follow the signs when entering the fairgrounds via Snelling Avenue. You can't miss the grandstand because it's got a big letter up there that says grandstand. And just follow the sign to the parking lot. We've got a huge empty parking area right next to us. Then you just walk right across, get in line, and head right in. I will mention the famous grab bags. I think the con guys are probably putting them together even as we're doing the podcast.
They're doing
500
it when?
attendees on Saturday
They're
and the
doing it
first
Wednesday
250
night.
on Sunday. Yep. And it's got all sorts of free fun and other type of swag. I mean, people actually come in wanting this. Well, if you're not the first 500 on Saturday and you're not the first 250 on Sunday, you'll be out. So, and like I said, people bring some of these guys, they get this big bag and it's so full of stuff, they run back to the car right away and dump it off.
And the sad thing about that is, I want to bring that up. There are golden tickets in there, which is
Oh,
basically
yes.
as you go through, it's flyers and free comics and giveaways and this and that. But they also, in some of the bags, they drop in what's, and it'll say right on it, this is a golden ticket. And you take that up to the prize booth because they're constantly giving away prizes, tons and tons of giveaways, et cetera, which I don't know if other cons do that, but we do.
And I happen
But
to
if you
know, this is the one insider clue I'll give you. One ticket is in Saturdays, one ticket's on Sundays. First thing you want to do, if you're
anymore.
lucky enough to score one of these bags, look for the ticket, go up and show it to whoever's at the prize bag. It'll probably be Lisa again. Gwen might be up there. And give them the ticket if you got it. And then you get a choice. I mean, we're talking major stuff. We're talking like $200 to $300 statues. Limited stuff for movie studios. I mean, we got some major prizes set aside just for those tickets. And it's not like you have a choice of two things. You have a choice of like five or six things. And you can choose what you want. If you find the ticket, you got to find the golden ticket and bring it up.
Now,
And then,
for
of
some of the
course, when you
giveaway,
get there, oh, I'm
hold on,
sorry,
hold
when you
on.
get
I
there,
have a story. I
oh,
have a
story time.
story. Last year, the gold at the fall convention, there was one golden ticket, and whoever had the golden ticket got the Golden Age Marvel Omnibus, which I think is either the first 10 or first 12 issues of Marvel Mystery Comics. And it's huge and it's beautiful and it's 125 bucks. So whoever got that golden ticket was going to get it. end of the day, no one had got the golden ticket. No one had come up because they probably just got their bags and took it and threw it in the car. And I asked, well, you know what? Since the money goes to charity and no one has got it, and so I was able to buy it last year. Cool. That was my one purchase at FallCon. I bought the Golden Age Marvel Comics Nick was Omnibus. Cool about
that. He's like, give it to charity. Yep. Now, this prize booth you can't miss. You're going to walk in. You're going to pay your ticket. You're going to get your hand wrapped with a little band. The admission's good for 2 days. Matter of fact, let me just stop here for a second because admission is at the door, cash only. It's $11 per adult and is good for both days. Children 9 and under are free. And I bet you even Corey knows how you can get $1 off admission.
That's right. You bring a canned item and we give that to the Minnesota Food Shelf. And this was started, I think, the first convention we did that. And every year, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. I think, what was it, 2 truckloads of food last year?
It's crazy. I mean, literally, when we plan the bags, we plan boxes that'll bring the grab bags there because we're going to fill those boxes with food and bring it back. And you should, I mean, to listen to some of the guys who take it to the food shelf, you should see their eyes when we show up with this food. And it, to them, it's out of the blue because they're not expecting it and it's greatly needed. So they really, really appreciate that. So again, $1 off your admission with a can of food shelf, with a canned food shelf donation that you can bring more than one can or box of food, but you still only get $1 off admission. You got 5 people coming in, 5 cans of food, you've just saved $5. $5 you can spend, hopefully, at our charity auction booth. But we haven't gotten there yet. So you come in, give your can of food, you get your admission, and then we figure general ticket sales will begin at about 9:30 a.m. Because at 10 o'clock a.m., the doors swing open, and the general public get in right away. First thing you want to do is go right around the admission, and there's the prize booth. Last year, I believe it was you fill out your name and address, and this puts you on their mailing list too, because that's probably the best way to get information is direct from the boys themselves. And then were they giving tickets away?
Yep.
And then so you keep the ticket, and then every so often just stop back up, look at the board, and compare your numbers. If your number's up there, you've won one of their prizes. And they, I mean, seriously, the stuff they get there has us fans, us volunteers, we're going crazy. Not because we're like, we want that stuff too. But Nick is very stern about, no, it's if it's there after the con, you can donate something to charity maybe. So you guys are getting the best stuff. So yep. Just check it out. And I believe Lisa will be there with her supersonic voice. So if you have earplugs when you're nearby her, that's probably advisable too. So I think we pretty much covered getting you into the Bloody Con.
Now, one of the stories I want to tell, we started telling it a little earlier, is where the name came from.
Oh, yeah.
And we went off on one of our rabbit trails. But for the first few years, it was MicroCon and then the 2-day con. Or the MCBA con. And we were at one of the meetings, and I said, you know, we really need to have branding because San Diego is the San Diego Comic Con. And the Minnesota Science Fiction Convention was Minicon. And I said, well, since our convention's in the fall, why don't we just call it FallCon? And I remember the first meeting when I announced, when I said that, everybody was like, oh, that's so stupid. It's goofy. Nobody will care, et cetera, et cetera. And I went, oh, well, you know, typical. I come up with stuff and everybody thinks it's silly. And then the next meeting, people were calling it FallCon. And I just kind of kept my mouth shut. And then the next meeting after that, Brian was bringing in a flyer and it said on it, FallCon.
FallCon.
And the name just kind of came from there where people at first was, oh, that sucks. And then they were using it. And a lot of stuff in the early years was someone would come up with an idea. Everybody at the table would go, oh, man, that's stupid. That's annoying. And we would do it.
Yeah.
Now it's, Now I think it's run a little better simply because it's so few people making the decisions. Because back then, everybody who was on the committee made the decisions, and there were like 10 or 11 of us. So it took forever for anything to get approved.
There was also a big thing where it was everybody had ideas, but nobody had time to implement them.
Yeah.
And it's even now so much, and I've talked with Nick about this and everything. It's not saying, you know, we ought to do this. It's if you have an idea, get a hold of Nick and say, Nick, I would like to do this for the con or bring these guys to the con. That's how last year Krypton Comics brought, I can't think of the name, the actress who is in Superman.
I can't think of it either.
I am so embarrassed.
But she played Ursa.
Yep. And that's how that happened. The charity booth, I think Nick came up with the idea because he knew I've got the retailer soul in me. I mean, if I wasn't working at the con, I would probably have a table and just shuck stuff that I still got from the two comic stores at the con. And he came to me and I don't know where or who decided it, but he said, you know what? We're thinking of having a charity art auction booth. Because what happens is on Sunday, I would call it beloved events happens. Can you call an event beloved, or is that safe for people?
Yes, I beloved.
Because everybody, I know people that just go to the charity art auction. It's fun. It's a great time to pick up artwork, not only from some of the local creators, but also some of the people who are brought in. You're talking, this is high quality stuff that's being, you know, comic book pages, original sketches, stuff originally made for the con, sometimes hard to find comic books or other type of memorabilia. This is stuff that we've noticed goes a lot cheaper than if these people were to bring this stuff to Chicago or to a Wizard World or San Diego, you know, because they all do charity art auctions. So it's gotten kind of it's a well-kept secret that at this art auction, you're going to find some really good stuff at some cherry prices, you know, and sometimes it's silly the amount of stuff that sells really cheap. And that's, that happens Sunday, usually about what, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock?
Yeah, three.
It takes about 2 hours and they just barrel through. But what happened was not everything sells. Either a piece comes up that there's just no interest in, or worse, they can't get to it in the amount of time. And so I kept telling Nick, you know, for a while I would eBay this stuff for the con and I'd bring the money. But it was, eBay takes time. And I would maybe raise an extra $200-$300 in between the cons. And it finally got to the point where I think somebody got the idea, well, why don't we just run a charity booth? We'll take all this stuff that's, we haven't sold. We'll gather other things that just can't sell. I mean, it's great that somebody gives us an entire run of Sandman to sell at the charity art auction, but it's not art. It's a comic book. We want to concentrate on mostly the art because that's what most people come for. So that's where the charity booth / rummage sale came from. And it was an experiment the first year. I set it up. Corey helped me out. And I forgot what we raised, about $1,600.
Yeah.
Which really was beyond anybody's expectation. And it was a blast. I mean, I had a list and I don't have it anymore of things.
By the way, let's pause right here because while this isn't a tale from the shop, it's close enough.
It is.
A little post-show edit here for Tales from the Shop. Got an email from Chris B today. She's about to start her tour, but she gave us theme music. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We now have theme music for Tales from the Shop. Thank you. And, you know, because we're talking about selling stuff, we're talking about retail. We have another sponsor. That's Chris B., who's an acoustic performer, does wonderful, wonderful music. She's based here in the Twin Cities, but she's about to go out on tour. And you can read more about her at broomhildamusic.com. You can sign up for her email list at the website. You can buy her music on iTunes. She's got a CD coming out soon. And I bet if you ask real nice, she'll autograph it for you because she's the one who sends them out. And right now I'm waiting for the calendar to load up. But she's about to go out on tour through Wisconsin, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. Then she'll be back in Minnesota in about a month, month and a half. But she had her Friday night, she had her I'm going on tour kickoff party, which I wasn't able to attend. And Angie wasn't able to attend, but I hear it was really a lot of fun. Her gig at, I think it's Station 4, got moved to a park. So if you bought tickets, you didn't have to pay any money because it went from her being in a, you know, in a place where you would buy tickets to, you know, get out in a park where you could hear her for free. Her gig's coming up Thursday, May 12th at the Acoustic Cafe at 505 South Barstow, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Saturday, May 14th at Cafe Carpe at 10 Water Street, Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin. Sunday, May 15th. She is at the Paradigm Coffee and Music at 1202 North 8th Street in Sheboygan, Wisconsin. Sheboygan. Thursday, May 9th.
Sheboygan. That girl is hard to get. I'm sorry.
That's Shaboopy.
Mm. My bad.
And no, she won't be doing that song. On Thursday, May 19th, she'll be at the Elbow Room Acoustic Lounge at 2871 North Lincoln Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. Friday, May 27th, she'll be at Potter's House at 1658 Columbia Road, Northwest, Washington, D.C., performing a five-song set as part of a featured artist during the Sounds of Hope open stage performance. How cool is that? Then on Saturday, June 4th, she will be back at the Hopkins Depot, and I've seen her perform at the Hopkins Depot. It's a nice little place. It's a wonderful gig. And it's at 9451 Excelsior Boulevard, Hopkins, Minnesota. That is part of the ADA Tour de Cure, where they're raising money for a cure for... Oh, I can't read it. The print is too small. She'll be at the Milwaukee Pride Fest on Sunday, June 12th. And then she's off to South Dakota. At the Twin Cities Pride Fest, she'll be performing in Loring Park. She's got all kinds of gigs coming up. One of the things when you go see one of her gigs, she will always perform the song, This Land Is Your Land. She has a deep abiding love for that song. And she's been putting on her Facebook where she's stopping in random places to get out of her car where there are people around. Just, you know, there are some people in a park or some people here. She will get out of her car with her guitar and perform the song and get back in the car and keep going. She's a great performer. I highly recommend her. And she is the sponsor of Tales from the Shop.
Cool.
This is Corey breaking in again. Chris sent us two songs. One was the one that we use for the theme for Tales from the Shop. This is the instrumental introduction to one of her original songs called It Was You. It's an amazing song when you see her in concert. And this is the instrumental beginning. So thank you very much to Chris. Now, you as a listener, go to our website. Do what we tell you to. You want to make us happy, don't you?
I'm going to list, I'm going to run down this quick because, you know, we're talking about the spring con, and obviously you go there, you meet creators, buy comic books, but there's a lot of other things going on as well. The one we talked about, of course, is the, I got a note here on the spring con charity art and collectible Sunday, May 22nd, 2:30 in the guest creator panel room, which is right in the Moodle.
And in the Moodle?
In the Moodle. 100% of all the proceeds will be split between the Minnesota Lupus Foundation and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. And Nick's given me a note that we've got a huge selection of original art, sketches, posters, all sorts of other things. And, of course, it's free, and all are welcome to participate. Right next to us.
Did you just get an email from Nick?
I'm on hot line with him. We're staying in the class. I mean, getting an email from Nick is rare, let me tell you. So right next to us, of course, is what Corey and I would be working on, the MCBA rummage sale / charity booth. It's the third time we've done it. Again, 100% of proceeds to charities, and we're asking for donations. So if you got anything you wish to donate, and we're talking comics, toys, graphic novels, art, CDs, VHS, DHS, DVDs, tube socks, Ronco egg peelers, tools, electronics, lamps, whatever you have you don't need, we'll take and sell for charity. And this all goes to charity. Your donation may be tax deductible. So do some spring cleaning, help out some good cause, and just bring it on up and we'll take care of it. I mean, believe me, Corey and I absolutely delight. The more absurd it is, the odds are we're going to sell it and raise it for charity. They also have... Oh, by the way, that's also where you could probably stop by and say hi to us. So if you're listening to the con, come on by and say hi. We'd like to see some faces from people who enjoy our podcast. MCBA also has a spring con art show going on. It's a chance to check on. Anybody can participate. We'll have space available. Invite anyone and everyone to participate. First come, first serve on that. There'll be some 4 foot tall pegboard displays where you can put up art. The displays are elevated 3 feet off the floor, and we have masking tape and peg hooks. You can set it up Friday, May 20th, and Saturday morning, and then you take it down the 22nd. So if you got stuff you want to share, bring it in. Last year, one guy brought in a bunch of awesome original art of Supergirl. I just absolutely loved it. To reserve a spot, send Nick an email at mncba@aol.com. That's mncba@aol.com, and put art show. Tell him how much board space you'd like and a name and phone number and a general nature. And he'll email you a confirmation to set up the display. And there is a guard that is put there the entire time, so you don't have to worry about it being unwatched or anything. We talked about the door prizes. Another group, one of the official MCBA Spring Con sponsors, is the Northrop Systems computer, and they're going to be giving away a new gaming computer at Spring Con. Last year, they did it sort of close to where we are. Details on their website, but it looks like it's an AMD Athlon 2 255 dual-core CPU, 2 gigabytes of RAM, DVD, RW drive, 20-inch widescreen, two-way speakers, mouse pad. Just amazing. Microsoft antivirus with U-dates for life. So if you need it, looking for a good chance, I mean, not only do you get a chance to win some cool prizes, but they'll have this computer gaming system that you can try for as well. And I also know on that volunteers don't get to apply. So it's just for you guys. It's not for anybody else. And basically, you just go to the MCBA prize drawing booth, drop a dollar into the charity tub, and that will get you an entry. And all that money, again, goes to the charities, and then you're entered into drawing for that computer. What would a Comic-Con be without costume characters? I mean, it's almost a staple these days.
Now, here's the weird thing. I want to bring this up. And maybe this is another tale from the shop. When we first started the convention, no one showed up in costume.
Mm-mm.
Nobody showed up in costume, but we had an art contest. And maybe I told this before, but we had an art contest, and it was, you know, whoever we had Dan Jurgens and Gordon Purcell and Peter Krause, who are still coming to the con, still working in comics. Gordon's working on the new Godzilla book. Peter's working on
Irredeemable,
which I just got the first three trades of, and oh, is that amazing!
I mean, Mike Wade's writing it, so and Pete's doing fantastic art on it. It's one of the few. Normally, I wait for the trade, but I buy the comic on this one because I can't wait. I even buy all the variants.
And Dan Jurgens is back on Booster Gold, so he's working on a book he started 30 years ago. But they looked through the art, and I remember the first year they did it, everybody who drew Batman drew him in the movie costume, and they were like, oh, I'm so tired of this damn movie costume. And it wasn't until, I would say, I don't remember when it was, but there was a guy who brought in a Batmobile.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a Batman costume like the Batman TV show costume, and his son was Robin.
Yep.
And now his son has grown up enough that he's Nightwing. He's either
sometimes
Nightwing
Red
or
Robin.
Yeah, or Red Robin. But it started with him. Then someone showed up as Superman, and it's a guy who used to shop at Joe's shop. Yep.
Yep.
And he's a personal trainer, so he fits the costume well, and he's a really, really nice guy. I loved it when he would come in, because he would just stay and talk and chat and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And now they've got like
wrestling.
Now they got like 25, 30 people who dress up as part of this group. And that's not counting all the other people who just dress up to dress up.
This group is actually formed. They're called the Minnesota Superheroes United. They have a Facebook page. They're linked onto the MCBA's page, and they specifically go to events. I've seen them in parades. They went to the Source for Free Comic Book Day. So if you've got an event that you want to spruce up with some superheroes, these guys are more than willing to come and do it for you. And they like I said, Minnesota Superheroes United. They will be there. The Star Wars 101st Central Garrison will be at SpringCon. Again, it's Star Wars characters on patrol. They're there on behalf of reigning Emperor Palpatine, and they provide security and discipline at SpringCon. I do believe we've seen a few people go to the dark side because of that. Corey, I'm kind of looking your way.
Hey, he had pie.
He just did it. Even if you're not part of this group, there is going to be a costume character and costume characters and costume event. I got to talk to someone about the title on that one. That's a tough one. But you will, if you want to set one up, you come in costume. I believe you get to go in free. They take a picture of it, and then they put it up, and people will vote on it. Prizes are given. So if you've got something you want, I'm sure if you talk to John, John Witt, I believe, is the guy who does Batman, or Greg, who does Superman. They'll tell you how to get set up with their group, but even if you just want to come for the heck of it, there's a guy who comes every year as Rorschach, and somehow he got it so his face changes. Just tremendous. Anyways, you can get set up. They'll have a contest going for that, and basically you set up the costume. As you walk around, you'll have a number on, and if people see it and like your costume, take that number back to the corner and vote on the character you like the best.
One other thing I want to add to that. There's a guy who dresses up as one of the characters in Harry Potter. And Joe, you know Harry Potter stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He has won the last like 3-4 years in a row. And last time they said, all right, we love that you come here, but you've won enough. So there will be a different winner this year.
Yeah. If you remember HeroClix, the game, there's going to be a HeroClix tournament at SpringCon. This is put on by Jumpin' Jerry, another one of my customers from the old shop. And if you need to get a hold of him to get set up, it's open for everyone, and everyone's welcome to play. I think last year he had the rare Galactus as a prize, if I'm not mistaken. That's like the one you had to either know somebody or pay $1,000 or something stupid to get. I'm exaggerating it for effect, but it is fairly rare. So,
all right, hold on. We're going to get to a little bit of geek talk here because I don't want the whole show to be nothing but plugs. Jeez, it's like we're whores.
We got one more thing to cover before, and this is semi-serious before we get there. Sunday morning, for those of you that are interested, Carl Borg will be hosting a chapel service from 9:15 to 9:45 a.m. on Sunday, May 22nd in the guest panel room. It's a regular feature since the second day started in 2002. Everyone's welcome. Local Christian comic guy Carl Borg will lead a short time of prayer. You just pick up an early gate pass at the Christian comic table on Saturday, and that'll get you in the door to go.
All right. You talked about Galactus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're one of the few people I know who's both a comic book fan and a Transformers fan. Now, who's the great big awesome Transformer, you know, the most powerful one?
Why, it happens to be Orson Welles' last public role before he died. Unicron.
Okay. Now, on the Comic Geek Speak board, someone had a picture of Galactus and Unicron standing across from each other. And they said, all right, who would win in a fight? Now, I have an opinion, but Joe, you're a big fan of both. So, who would win in a fight?
Hmm.
My God, I've stumped him.
I know. I see, usually in things like that, you start thinking, well, it's whoever's writing the story, really. But I would think I'd still have to go with Galactus on that. It would be a heck of a fight. But, you know, Galactus has fought sentient planets before. And the planet, I think Unicron's best bet would be to escape rather than confront.
Okay. Because my answer was Galactus is the living embodiment of entropy created out of the original forces of the Big Bang. And the Transformers are a big robot. I don't see it as even a contest.
Actually, it would be an interesting fight because Unicron swallows planets to keep itself going. And Galactus basically, they could actually be a symbiotic relation if they stop and stop fighting, because Galactus takes the living biosphere off the planet. He leaves the planet behind. I believe Unicron just swallows the planet. So maybe they could work together. Ooh, I just got a geek chill.
So I don't want this episode to be nothing but plugs.
Oh, hell, I do. Let's start talking about guests. I want to know who you're looking forward to seeing at the con this year. Because we talked about a couple guys. I believe you mentioned Peter Gross is only going to be there Saturday.
Yep.
And I also, through Facebook, found out that Terry Beatty is leaving the Minneapolis area. He's moving down. His wife got a job somewhere. So this may be his last spring con. So if you're looking to get something or say hi to him, this might be the time to do it. I'm not saying he won't travel up for other cons, but it'll be a lot tougher when you have to travel. I've taken that road drive to Kansas City. It's a long drive.
I'm also going to mention that if you have not read anything by Terry Beatty, you know what? He's a hell of a nice guy. He's one of those guys who's been in comics for a long time, and I just kind of have take him for granted, as, you know, he always puts out good work. But his stuff has been around so long that a lot of people haven't read it. So when you're digging through the back issue bins, or you go up to his table, or you're at your local comic shop, look for Ms. Tree. It's written by Max Allen Collins, who's an award-winning mystery writer. He writes incredibly good detective stories. And this was a detective comic. Ms. Tree was a private investigator. So it's hard-boiled mystery comics. Terry Beatty's stuff, it's not flashy. It's more like 50s, early 60s art.
Didn't he work on Return to Perdition?
Yep. He did the sequel to Road to Perdition. He also has done a lot of the Batman Strikes comic. He does the covers for Scary Monsters magazine because he's a geek like us. He loves those old horror movies. He loves old detective stories. He loves old comics. I see, whenever I go to a rockabilly show, like when the Reverend Horton Heat's in town, or Big Sandy and his Fly Right Boys, or, you know, Low Straight Jackets, Terry's there. He loves that sort of culture. And his art is just amazing. He's one of the guys who, like I said, I see this convention as almost like a high school reunion that happens twice a year. I always go up, get to chat with him for a bit. I really look forward to seeing the locals. I love seeing Gordon Purcell. Gordon's a funny guy who draws, he mostly draws licensed books because one of his first books was
Star Trek.
Well, he did Gamma Rotters, which was based on a Dungeons & Dragons TSR game.
I actually have one issue of that in my collection because he did a cover where he had all the local artists on it. I never read it. It's just I like that particular cover because it's kind of fun to see everybody on there.
Well, I picked up the whole – I picked up all the TSR books because I was a Dungeons & Dragons fan. His book was my favorite just because the art was so clear and it wasn't done with a lot of the scratchy inking and everything. And even though the characters were kind of weird and very otherworldly, his art made it fun to read. I always love talking to Terrence Reap.
And David Watkins, who's always next to him.
Even though they have nothing in common other than they both live here and they've both been going to the con forever. Terrence does, he writes Scooby-Doo, and he is also the pro wrestler Tommy Spider Baby Saturday.
You're not supposed to give it away. It's secret.
Tough. I've outed you.
He's going to, I think he did that on his own. I think you're in big trouble, Corey. I did find out one guy is coming to the con that I played a real good prank on the other day, or a couple cons ago. Gene Ha is coming. Now, Gene Ha is a phenomenal creator. He's super friendly. And he has one quirk that sometimes drives the con guys to just shake their head. He will do original art for you, but he doesn't accept payment. He will make you do something. It could be take your shirt off, waltz around with a sign saying the end is coming, or it could be something to be named later. You always know if you're going to get something from Gene that you're going to go through the ringer to get it. Could involve singing, dancing, could involve hot dog eating. I don't know. Knowing how much Gene loves this type of stuff, I talked to the guys once, and up until they've been tightening airport security more and more, and anybody who travels know. But for a while, it used to be I was able to get through security because I work as security there, and I could meet guests at the gate, which is an extra perk I figured we could offer. They've since changed the rules now. Unless you have business going through, you shouldn't. And they're basically talking you're either working or you're flying. And in this case, I talked to my manager and I said, well, I have access, but I'm not really working. And I said, I'm not going to use the side doors. I just want to be screened to be able to do this. And they said, well, we have no problem with it, but blah, blah, blah might. So I don't do that anymore. And it was nice because occasionally you'd get some elderly guests there that, you know, airports are bewildering places, and to have somebody meet them at the gate was extra special. I can't do that anymore, but before they put this in place, I said, okay, I'm going to meet Gene Ha, and I'm going to rib him. So what happened is I was standing there, and I wasn't wearing my uniform, but I do have my ID badge with me. So Gene Ha come off the plane, and I forget who he's traveling with, somebody going to the con, and I approached him, and I say, are you Gene Ha? Yep. This Officer Ryder with TSA Homeland Security. Could you come with me, please? What's this about? I said, we'll talk about it later. And unfortunately, I was trying to be discreet, but of course, the people coming off the plane saw this, and they all took like a half step back from Gene. So now we had to go from the D concourse to, was it the E concourse? We had a ways to walk, and basically we kind of just walked. And as I said, I asked, do you need to hit the restroom? No, sir. Is it something we can take care of here? I said, no, we'll go down to my office and take care of it. And, he wanted to know what it was about, and I was being real, no, we're not going to talk about it here. And, of course, naturally, what's going through your mind? What the hell did happen? What did I do? What did I not do? So he's sweating it out. We come down, and I ask him, did you need to go outside and have a smoke? He said, no. That's okay. Do you have any luggage? Yes, I do. It's okay. Well, we'll go down and get it. So we went down to the sterile area. Now, my goal was to take him over to his luggage, and then at that time, have Big Mike, the Human Planet, one of the guys who worked at my shop, and he's one of the guest liaisons. He'd see Mike, and then I would hand him off. Well, what happened is, at the same time I saw Mike, I saw another guy, Eric Marshall, and they both converged on him at the same, "Hey, Joe, you found Gene." I go, "Yep, I'm afraid we're going to have to just get him out of the airport." And he knew it. But he knew he'd been rubed by then.
That's so great.
I made him sweat for a while. Unfortunately, I also had a request. I needed artwork from the con. And I will save that for after the con, and then maybe the next time, and what I had to do to atone for that particular rube and get a very nice piece of artwork.
Some of the other people who I always enjoy talking, well, Dan Moore will be there. Dangerous Dan Moore,
Dan.
Who draws worldwide news. He may actually have me at his table for a short time. So you can either come to see me at the garage sale table, and please, if you're listening to the show, come up, let us know. Let us know what you think.
Say hi.
Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Well, tell Joe what you don't like. My feelings
bring
Corey hurt.
Hostess pie. I mean, I would say bring regular pie, but it gets messy. But Hostess pies are a neat little kill your heart containers.
Yes.
I'm actually looking forward to meeting Roberta Gregory. She's an independent artist that had her own book called Bitchy Bitch a while back. And it was a lot of fun to read.
One of my favorite artists of all time. And at last time he was at our con, you know, because I've seen him at other cons, and he tries the Harlan Ellison act where, you know, he's the angry, bitchy, blah, blah, blah. But at our con, he was incredibly nice, really cool. Howard Chaykin will be there.
He had a talk with my youngest daughter, Holly, about Star Wars, because I told him she had just finished reading classic Star Wars. And
yeah.
They sat and they talked about it. And I thought that was so gracious. That's almost like the story I told about how Terrence Creep sat and talked with my older daughter, Dana, for ages. I mean, it is so sweet to see the dealers or the guests spend time with younger fans. I even believe Gene Haw does not, if it's for artwork for a child, I don't believe he makes them run through the gauntlet. Or he may. I don't know.
But my favorite story about Chaykin, well, there are two. One is, I've heard that when he talks to people about our convention, he really sells us. He wants to be here every year. And when he talks to artists, they go, "Well, what is going on with this Minnesota convention?" "Well, you know, they're really nice. They're really gracious. They do great stuff for the guests. They're always bringing you, you know, they're checking on how you're doing. Everybody's nice. And then at the dinner Saturday night, you get steak. And then if you're still hungry afterward, you get more steak. And then you get steak."
I will tell you, Corey, you're going to have to be on your, I'm going to abandon you on Saturday.
Oh, why?
Well, Saturday is my wedding anniversary.
Oh,
23 years. And I will be, the con gets over with at 5 PM and everybody just kind of meanders until, you know, people leave, the guests go upstairs for their steak. I'm going to be leaving at about 4:30. So my kids will have their own cars, so they can hang and leave. Being that my oldest daughter is a vegetarian, she's not hanging out for the steak. They'll probably end up going to Taco Bell. But anyways, you'll be finishing up. And then, of course, I'll be there all day for the fun on Sunday. That was kind of I have to give it to my kids because they saved me on this one. Because, you know, my wife's like, "Well, you realize the Comic-Con's on the 21st. And, of course, I'm like, "Oh, I am in so much trouble." And then the kid's like, "But Mom, it's the Comic-Con. This is the last one we get to do before Dana goes to college. We got to go."
Oh, that's great.
But I did arrange for a fun night out for her and I, and Dana's going to watch the youngin', so.
Okay.
Just so you know when I disappear.
But my other story about Chaykin, it's Saturday night and everything's shutting down. They're trying to get the guests back to either the hotel or whatever. And Nick is very, very busy. And Howard Chaykin's all packed up, and whoever's supposed to be his ride hasn't shown up yet. And he's trying to find Nick, and he can't find Nick. And I'm walking by, and after we get all our stuff put away, I just kind of look around for people who have that look on their face, like, I am so confused, I don't know what's going on. And I walked up, and I said, is there something I can help you with, Mr. Chaykin? He said, first, don't call me Mr. Chaykin, and second, I'm supposed to get a ride back to the hotel, and I don't know who's taking me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, you know what? Stay right here, and I will go find out. And I took off. I don't run very much, but it was more of a trot. I take off as a trot to look, and I see, you know, Big Mike, and there's Big Mike, and I ask him and everything, and finally figure out, okay, his ride's going to be here in about 5 minutes. He's going to be here. And I decide, now I'll just take him out. So I get back, and there are two other volunteers who are there. And they're both, well, you know, if your ride doesn't show, we could certainly take you. And they've got their volunteer badge and the T-shirt and everything. And I come back, and I go, your ride's going to be in 5 minutes. And if you want, I can walk you over. And he's like, you know what? I have never been at a convention where so many people are looking around for people to help.
Sweet.
Usually the artists are just kind of left on their own. Here you go. Here, mm-hmm. you know, deal with it. We bring them water. We bring them sandwiches. We set up, you know, if they want to take a break, we have a volunteer sit at their table so that they don't have to worry about their stuff getting taken. One of the things I really like about our convention is it is very guest friendly and guest oriented.
Yeah, we're probably and one it, of the last shows. Original Comic Cons left. You know, we haven't gone Hollywood. We haven't gone big. And it's by design, too. I mean, we could probably get bigger and we could find other places, but we want to keep it at a certain level where you can feel you can come to our con and feel that you can see everything in 1 or 2 days and not leave feeling like I didn't get to see such and such, or I didn't get to see such and such.
The other thing that I really like about our convention, and I'm amazed we don't publicize this more, everybody talks about SPX, which is a small press expo out in, I think it's San Francisco. And, mm-hmm. they've got all these independent creators. And we last year had twice as many independent creators as SPX.
Oh, yeah.
Our attendance was probably as big as SPX. We don't get the press for it. I don't know if they do it every year, but I know last year and the year before, they had a section in the middle of the convention for small press artists. They had, I think it was a cartoonist conspiracy. They brought in couches
and
tables. And the convention brought in a copy machine that any of the indie artists could go over and copy off their mini comics and their zines and all that for free. They could just, because there were a couple artists, I went up and I said, you know what? I want a complete run of this book. And they said, okay, be back in 10 minutes. And I'd walk away and you'd see them run over to the copy machine, slap stuff down and hit that copy button.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other convention that does stuff like that? It's unbelievably artist friendly. The artists are wonderful. Every year they have some Silver Age and Bronze Age creators who are always blown away that the fans come up, and it's not, can you do me a sketch? No, the fans come up, they ask for sketches, money in their hand. I usually go up, I'm not a sketch person because I've learned that if I get a sketch, it's just going to be put in a box somewhere and forgotten about. So instead, I'll bring in a trade paperback or something and ask for a signature, ask them to personalize it. And I say, that way, you know, I'm not selling it on eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
I thank them for the work they've done. And I mentioned, you know, you did this story and I really enjoyed it. And I loved your art in this. Denny O'Neill's going to be there. And I want to go to his panel because from what I hear, his panels are about story construction. And here's a guy who started in comics back in 1967, writing for Carlton. And then he wrote Doctor Strange. He was the first non-Stan Lee writer for Doctor Strange, went over to DC, did wonderful work at DC, came to Marvel, didn't get along with the people at Marvel, went back to DC and was there for pretty much his whole life. If you've read a comic from DC from like 1970 to 2005, Denny O'Neil probably had something to do with it at some point. One other person who I'm going to point out, because she's so much fun to talk to, and I want to get her name right because I always, is Vaz Little Crow. Let's see, it's Vaz Little Crow. She used to do hula hoop work, but she's done so much hula hoop work that her hips are a little injured. So she,
I remember seeing her at the con, which is really too bad because she was really good at it.
But she does a couple of web comics. She's a burlesque dancer, and she is just so much fun to talk to. And every year we have a political argument, and it's my favorite political argument of the year because she's a conservative, but she hates Fox News and she hates the Republican Party. Kind of like I'm a liberal, but I don't much care for the Democratic Party and I don't listen to liberal radio. We don't talk in sound bites. We actually discuss, and there are things that we agree on. If you want
to get an idea, go to catnose.com, CATNOSC.com. And you know where I found that information?
Right on the website there.
On the Midwest Comic Book Association's website. I'm gonna lay it out for you. MidwestComicBook.com, just like it sounds. Couple ways you can get to it. You can either go through their Facebook page, which is the Midwest Comic Book Association. You can go through it through our podcast page on Facebook. You can Google it. I mean, in this day and age, if you don't know what Google is, if you can't Google, you're lost. So, I mean, you'll get information. This is something I've got to do, and I complained about this at the last con that I didn't do it, but I'm going to have time. There are so many guests coming that a lot of times I'll hear, oh, such and such was there. I just read their book. I absolutely loved it, and I didn't get a chance to see them. Because I'm also with my daughter running around trying to get pictures of everybody that I'll later post on Facebook for everybody. So, I mean, there's so much more to cover. I mean, we didn't talk about the Propitorium. We didn't talk about Fate magazine. We didn't talk about the retailers. You know, I was talking to Corey pre-podcast that I'm amazed. We'll have probably two or three Eisner Retailer Award winners at the show. I know for certain Dreamhaven books, I know Source Comics and Games will be there, and there may be some other ones coming in from out of town. I don't know if Graham Crackers won that award. But if you're, this is the show to go to, especially if you're a Golden Age collector. You are going to see more Golden Age comic books than are probably in the entire Twin Cities, with the exception of private collections. And some of that we talked about in a previous podcast, because our prices seem to be depressed, that they tend to gravitate to Chicago and the West Coast. But if you're, a fan of Golden Age comics, this is a must-go-to show, because you're going to see things that you probably won't even realize have existed. And matter of fact, if you're looking for something special, again, go to the MCBA website, link up with the creator, link up with the retailer or the dealer, and tell them, if you have this, bring this to the show. I would like to buy it for you. The creators might be busy. They may not be able to get back to you, but I know the dealers, if they're worth their pound in salt, they will do that for you. And it's just going to be a blast. We'll have probably more stories, not only of SpringCon, but Uncle Sven was nice enough to hold our free comic book swag for us, because both, you know, I'm in Alaska and Corey was working. And of course, we'll be talking about any of you that are brave enough to come up and say hi to us at the charity booth, or when Corey's bugging Dangerous Dan Moore.
And we're going to have great stories from the charity booth, because every year there's at least one or two stories that are just too much fun.
Oh.
And yes, this has been a plug-a-thon, but this is our Woodstock. This is, as comic fans, Joe and I, this is the most fun we have every year. This is kind of our Christmas, our New Year's. I keep mentioning it's like a high school reunion, because we've known these people for 20 to 25 years. And you get busy and you get where, you know, Joe's flying all over the country. I'm working this job and doing this and everything. But twice a year, we all get together. And that's one of the reasons they call it the Minnesota comic book get together, the Minnesota comic book party. This isn't like San Diego where it's, well, now we're going to show all the TV shows that are coming out this fall. Nope. It's a bunch of people who get together, who love funny books and enjoy their time.
If you're also at the fairground that weekend, there's a major appliance liquidation event going on at the education building where we used to have the 2-day show. So not only can you get your comic books, your guests, your spring cleaning dump take care of, you can pick up some major appliances at liquidation prices. Fairgrounds are a busy place in the year.
Yeah, if your comics are dirty, just go and buy a washing machine and shove them in. Okay. Well, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us ramble on about funny books and funny book conventions. And it's been worth it.
Yes.
So remember, the comic that we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.